There is so much that can be said about worship. It was really hard to keep it to something small. I wanted to go off into all kinds of different directions. There's something really special when we sing, which is really different than when we talk. Just this last week, I was listening to someone who was talking about how much more effective it is to sing to children when you're giving them instructions. Like small children, 1, 2, 3 years old, there's something that changes when you sing to them that it's time to eat breakfast instead of telling them in words. I don't know the science behind that, and I didn't look that up for today because that's not what the Lord had on my heart, but there's just something special when we sing to each other, when we sing to Jesus, when we sing to ourselves when we're sad. I wanted to talk about authenticity in worship today. Worship, for a definition, worship has been defined in many different ways, but the best definition I've found is that it's a response. It's a response to what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. And so our response is just an expression. Expressions take many forms. Some expressions are really visible and everybody else can see them. And some expressions are very quiet. The visible expressions, we can all join in together. It becomes very corporate. We could serve lunch to someone. That's an expression. That's a response to what God has done for us, serving others. Dancing is an expression. Shouting, singing, any form of art. Worship can be very emotional. And then other forms of worship are invisible. They're done very inwardly and quietly, and nobody else can see them. Some forms of invisible worship can be quiet contemplation, prayer, journaling. It can be really intellectual and scholarly, like just pondering and thinking. When someone is stirred within their deep spirit and completely in awe of the picturesque scene in front of them and they paint it, that's worship. When someone's so excited about what they just heard during a sermon and they shout, that's worship. When someone is so moved they can't speak at all, that's worship too. Whether somebody is touched and falls to their knees and lies prostrate, or quiet, or weeping, or laughing, or shouting, it's all an expression. It's all worship. It's just our response. Since it's a response, it's usually reflective of our personality. Our personality is the way God made us. So some people have a tendency toward emotional, visible expression. And others tend to be more quiet and inward with the way they express. We don't always stay in one lane either. I'm pretty loud most of the time, but sometimes I'm pretty quiet. Ted, will you read Psalm 150 for us from the screen? This is the Passion Translation.
Hallelujah. Praise him in his stronghold in the sky. Praise him for his mighty miracles. Praise him for his magnificent greatness. Praise him with trumpets blasting. Praise him with piano and guitar. Praise him with drums and dancing. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everyone everywhere join in the crescendo of ecstatic praise to Yahweh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. He didn't know I was going to ask him that. I was really hoping he was going to be here today. I love your voice, and I just heard it in my head while I was preparing. So there's lots and lots of scriptures of examples of different kinds of worship all through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But that's the one I picked for today. Especially the last verse in the ESV, verse 6 says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I really like that word, let. Worship is a default. Our response to God is just something that happens if we let it. Sometimes we squish it. Sometimes we press it down. But if we let, worship just will be expressed. Kind of talking about how it's similar to letting a baby be born. Any woman who's had a baby knows that it's a lot of labor, but also there's nothing you can do about it. Once it starts, that's it. It goes better if you let instead of try so hard. There's a lot of things in our lives that are similar to letting and giving birth and allowing the Lord to move through us. And then another word in that passage is hallelujah. We all know that means praise God. The word has halal and yah. And the halal part means to be boastful and to praise. It's translated as in various scriptures as different types of things. In the New American Standard, it's translated as acted insanely, arrogant, boast, drive madly, glory, to go mad, making fools, offers praises, praise, to race madly, to sing praises, and also a wedding song. Most of the time, it's translated as praise. But there is this bend to the word that can be like, remember when David ran through the streets in his underclothes, or maybe not even his underclothes, just dancing wildly, like he was going mad. That was halal. Do we all need to do that all the time? No, we don't. But there's space for it. In church, we find a variety of expressions, sometimes delineated by denomination, and we see both ends of the spectrum. We've got the super emotional outpourings of worship in the forms of shouting and dancing and falling to the floor, and the music whips people into an emotional frenzy. It sometimes, to the outsider, looks like chaos. But in contrast, we see whole congregations silent while the good news is preached, and barely even hear the congregation sadly singing the hymns of worship like a funeral dirge. I'm trying not to be judgmental, but I feel a little judgmental sometimes. There's judgments cast from one group to another for their choice of expression, and obviously I chose the far ends of the spectrum. There's everything in between when corporate worship occurs together on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night. But I'm not really trying to make judgments. That's not really the point I'm trying to make. The point I'm trying to make is that God moves in different ways at different times for different reasons for those moments in time. And then culturally, we see a lot of differences. When Kathy came back from her trip to Africa, she was explaining to me just how different it was as far as like whole groups of people just bursting into song at various times. And I started thinking about that. And I was wondering, like, when in the United States does everybody sing outside of church? And I thought about it and realized the only time I could really think of is at birthday parties. We do all burst into song in various ways, right? You go to a Mexican birthday party, it's going to look a whole lot different than my family growing up for a birthday party. Other than birthday parties, there's another common activity where everyone, regardless of ethnicity, becomes demonstrably expressive. That would be at a sports game. Whether you're cheering on a kid at their game or whether you're at a pro sport competition, you're going to find almost everybody shouting and cheering. Standing up, hands in the air, jumping up and down in excitement, filled with emotion, body and voice, expressing, sometimes disappointed, sometimes excited, but collectively, like everyone together at the same time. Usually it is, though, just one team expressing together, right? There's kind of a little bit of competition going on there. Maybe your grandson just hit a home run and he's, you know, crossing that home plate. Everybody's excited, but groaning when somebody is out. But at the sporting event, our worship is kind of a competition. At the end, really only one team is going home excited. And in contrast to that, in church, we're not competing at all. No one is losing. In fact, we're all coming together with a shared love of the Lord. And then the music coordinates us for a communal response. And that creates shared unity. And it's something that's really special in church. It's not always easy to come here and sing. We're dealing with all kinds of things during the week that are hard. Sunday we come together, and sometimes it might take a lot of effort to worship, to sing. But all of our experiences from our week can be transformed while we're here singing and worshiping together. The Lord transforms us through worship. Our perspective changes. During that time, sometimes our sorrow can be turned to joy, and our grief is healed. And sometimes it really feels like a sacrifice. It feels like a sacrifice to open our mouth and sing when we don't feel like it. It can feel like a sacrifice to stand up here and speak when we don't feel like it. And it definitely is a sacrifice to talk to people sometimes on a Sunday morning. Not everybody finds that easy. In our culture, we kind of are accustomed to entering a church and reading the room and then aligning with the group. I don't know how many churches you visited or been to throughout your lives, but I know that when I come in and the worship service starts, I think, what's allowed here and what's not allowed? And, you know, how much can I express and what are other people doing? And as I was chatting with somebody this week, they likened worship to sometimes needing to, we have to practice, right? So what I'm asking our sanctuary and our congregation here to do is to step outside maybe of what always feels comfortable and allow the welling up of the Holy Spirit and the praise and the worship and to let it come out. But sometimes in order to break free of the prison we've created and squishing the Spirit down, we have to march around the city of Jericho for 7 days in a row. As a side note, whenever they went to war, guess who was first? Well, worshipers. They had banners. They had dancers. They had instruments. They had singers. And they went out first. There are things that break. There are strongholds that break when we sing and when we shout and when we clap and when we're loud. There's something special about it. But sometimes we have to work at it, and sometimes it feels like sacrifice. Sometimes we feel stuck. Sometimes we find ourselves unable to express because of grief. We just can't open our mouth. We can't move our bodies. Sometimes we just groan. Sometimes we say nothing at all. Grief lasts for a season. We just can't express, and that's okay. And there might be a lot of reasons why we get stuck, but the two that came to my mind were grief and fear. And I think fear might be one of the biggest ones. It was one of my biggest reasons for many years. It took a few different things in my life where God helped me to break out of that fear of what other people were thinking of me and maybe watching me and judging me. I went to a multicultural church for a few years, and I didn't know anybody there. I just had the opportunity and freedom to practice expressing worship in a variety of ways because, believe me, nothing I was going to do in expression was going to be as over the top as some of the people that were around me. It didn't feel natural at first, but I became more comfortable as time passed. Another really big thing that occurred that the Lord brought me through was I went to a weekend seminar for movement, and it was a Christian lady that was putting on this seminar. It wasn't necessarily dance, but she taught us how we could move our bodies in worship and to express to the Lord. And at one point during that seminar, she read a scripture and said, instead of praying back to the Lord your response, just pick a space in the room, and I just want you to take 5 minutes and move your body in response to what we just read. That was that was really outside of the box for me, but it really helped me. I just began to feel more comfortable in my body in expressing. You know where no one has fear of what other people will think of them? At a sporting event. I have to come back to it because it's just the place in our society where everybody, it feels free. If you look at this picture, not everybody is standing up though, right? Some people are sitting, some people are quiet, some people are observing, and other people are participating loudly. No one's going to give you a problem if you sit quietly the whole time at a sports game, and no one's going to give you a problem if you do a lot of shouting, as long as you're not shouting at the coach, right? And really, this is the type of freedom I'd like to see in our own small little piece of the grand church of God, is that everyone would feel free to express and worship, to respond to what God has done in your life, what God is doing, and what God will do. I just wanted to ask everybody if we could all work together to create a safe space for expression here. One of the things that I'm doing here as worship pastor is to create a safe space for expression, whatever form that may take. And so I'm just asking all of you collectively as a congregation, can we give each other a little bit of tolerance? And can we make a safe space for everyone to worship authentically? And that really is the most important thing, is that if you are feeling quiet and contemplative, you shouldn't have to feel pressured to stand and sing because everyone else is singing. And conversely, if you're feeling excited, you shouldn't feel like you have to be quiet and reserved because 90% of the people around you are. Both directions, I feel like we need to make sure that we give everybody the space to be themselves. Really, that we can be the same in here in the church as we are out there at a sporting event. If you're excited, be excited. If you're contemplative, be contemplative. So today, we have a little bit of a workshop. We're going to make space to practice. But first, I would like to play an audio clip to get you in the mood. And before we play it, I just want to say, there was a time in our lives where we didn't think, because we were so young. We just were. We were able to just be. And things just naturally bubbled up out of us, and we didn't even know we were doing it. So here's a little audio clip of my granddaughter.
Will you sing that song for Grammy?
And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
I got that clip a couple of weeks ago. The cool thing was, she didn't even know she was singing that. She was playing. My son took the video camera through the house, you know, because he thought it'd be cool that Grammy heard her granddaughter just kind of humming by herself. And then she just broke into the last phrase out loud just because she was busy playing with Legos. She wasn't even thinking about singing until he said, "Hey, do you want to sing it?" And she was very happy to sing it. Do you remember what it was like to be a little kid? We're all little kids in the kingdom, so just remember what it was like to be 7, 6, 5. When your parents said it was time for ice cream, you just responded. You jumped, both feet off the floor, hands in the air. I would do it, but every time I move the wrong way, this thing makes sound on my face. Right? Yes, we're getting ice cream. You mindlessly sang to yourself just because you were happy. Before you became self-conscious that maybe you couldn't sing, you shouted when you opened that present that you've been waiting for since last Christmas. I just want you to channel that person deep down inside. So we're going to warm up together and then we're going to practice. And you might usually be a quiet worshiper, and that's okay. But today, as much as is possible, I'm asking people to step outside their comfort zone a little bit. No one's going to look dumb because we're all going to do it together. So if everyone could just close your eyes first, I want you to take 2 long, deep breaths. Okay, stand up. I want everybody to stretch your arms up towards the sky. Just pretend you're like that. You're a little kid looking up at the clouds and just being enamored with life. Now I want you to walk in place. Let's just move our bodies a little bit. Swing your arms a little bit. Step to the right and to the left. Maybe do a circle. I know the floor isn't flat, but you don't fall down. Okay, so when we were little kids, we learned things by copying. So feel free to copy me. Copy someone around you. That's fine. I'm going to read some statements, and then we're going to do some responses. We're going to do them all together. Give our voices and our bodies a chance to move. So just, first of all, just listen to this. Jesus, the human, without sin, took all of humankind's sin into himself on the cross, and he crucified it. Now just repeat with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Again, Jesus, the human without sin, took on all of our sin and crucified it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm going to read, and then at the end of the reading, we're all going to do what it says. This one is a shout one, okay? The creator of the whole universe, the one who spoke the world into existence. He spoke the birds, the plants, the massive redwood trees and the oceans. That creator lives inside of you. Wow! How amazing! This creator cared so much about the people he made. He came down into our physical world, put on skin, and showed us what he is like because he wanted us to know him intimately. Thank you, Father. He's awesome and mighty and powerful and sovereign. He's the first and the last. He's perfect and precious and beautiful. And we know these things because we see him everywhere in the world he's made. And he decided to make his home inside of you. Hallelujah! We praise you, God. He has forgiven you for every self-righteous thought, every unkind word, every moment of selfishness. Every time you exalted yourself and put someone else down, every time you looked down at the waves and began to sink instead of keeping your eyes on his eyes, he's forgiven you for every time you went your own way and didn't trust him, and for every time you didn't believe. I'm so thankful. We're not slaves to sin anymore, Steve. We're not slaves to sin. We're slaves to righteousness. We are overcomers and we are victors through Jesus. We were crucified with him, dead, buried, and raised to new life, and we are living in that kingdom now. We have the good news. Everyone is invited, everyone is included, and there is nothing we can do to make ourselves more loved. We are his precious children, and he won't lose even one of us. Amen. You guys can sit. Am I trying to create a charismatic worship service at the sanctuary? No. I just want to invite you all to be the kind of expressive in here as you are out there. If your personality is visibly expressive at a ball game, give yourself permission to respond to God's goodness the same way. I promise you, Peter will keep preaching, even if you interrupt him and say, "Yes! That! Preach it again!" Because it's exciting. It's more exciting here than it is in 99.9% of the churches out there. I'm excited when he preaches. I know you guys are. I see you nodding your heads and smiling. And that's okay. If all of you are quiet, that's okay. But if you're not quiet, you don't have to be. Peter's authentic in worship.
Where did you get that? Glenn gave that.
I found you one night and took a picture. Wills and I didn't talk throughout the week, but this morning we got together and I said, "Guys, I need prayer. I'm just feeling really oppressed and down today." And Will said, "I've been feeling that way too." The Lord started laying this message on my heart weeks ago, and it's something that we all must need to hear today. And I don't give the enemy much space in my life, and I don't talk about him very much. But when it comes to worship, I think he really works hard to keep us from doing it. It doesn't only have to be done here. It can be done in the car. It can be done at home. As your worship pastor, I crave authenticity. As a human being, I crave authenticity. It's just in my nature. My family likes to tease me because I don't understand sarcasm, but it's just because genuine authenticity is just what makes the most sense to me. So here, in this space, is where we gather together as family. And I don't know what your experiences were at home growing up or raising your own kids, and maybe it wasn't healthy, but I just want to explain what healthy looks like here. Here, healthy looks like coming to church in your sweats and your slippers when you don't feel good. And when someone says, "Are you okay today?" you have the freedom to say, "Not really, but I don't want to talk about it." No masks, no facades. Expressing joy when you're joyful, but also being real when times are tough. Rejoicing with one another when there's reasons for celebration, and mourning with the person who's weeping. Praying with one another and praying for one another and singing together. I would like to know who told you couldn't sing, Peter. Who told you couldn't sing? According to the National Institute of Health and a 20,000-person study, found the prevalence of congenital amusia to be only 1.5%. That means statistically, since there's never 100 people here in the sanctuary on a Sunday morning, not one of you is tone deaf. Your singing muscles might be weak, and that's what people misunderstand. There's so many people that have told me I can't sing, I have not heard very many tone deaf. I can think of one person, two people in my life, my whole life, that were truly tone deaf. I never told them. But it's really a matter of just not using the muscles. That really is all that it is. Maybe a tiny bit of training. Maybe not all of you would want to stand up here and use a microphone and amplify your voice. But the interesting thing about this building, it was intentionally built for acoustics. We don't really need any of this up here. It's just that all of our instruments nowadays are all electronic, and so we have to try to figure that out in this building. But a year and a half ago, I stood right there in the middle with nobody in the building when we came to visit, and I just sang a song and just listened to the whole building, and it's so pretty. I think one of the problems is, though, when you guys are all out there singing, you can probably hear yourselves. Most churches that I go in have carpet. They have chairs that have cloth, and sometimes even sound stuff on the walls, and so you can't hear yourself. And the music is so loud, I mean, I sing really loud even when I'm out there just because it makes me happy. And in most churches, I can't hear myself. But in this building, even if it was full of people, I bet you can all hear yourself because it's like a bathroom and everything is reverberating off of all the walls. And maybe some of you sing quieter because you think, oh, everybody else can hear me. But I promise you they're thinking the same thing. I can hear myself. That means everybody else can hear me. What I wanted to do today is to enjoy the sound of this building together. Another interesting thing is when you listen to a choir, you've got sometimes hundreds, scores of people that really maybe couldn't be vocalists by themselves and sing solos, but when you get them all together, all of those voices come together and they do something magical and they make one voice. So I wanted to give everyone an opportunity to sing something we all know, really simple. And instead of hearing yourself bouncing off of the walls and the ceiling, I just wanted to invite you to listen to everybody else's voices as we sing together. Let's just sing Jesus Loves Me. Does everybody know that? And give some extra volume to it. And think about how much Jesus loves you, but then also listen to everyone else while we sing instead of yourself.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me.
I'd like to give us a chance to practice worship a little bit. So we're going to worship together, and I want to invite you to take whatever posture you're feeling in this moment. Really, check in with yourself, your spirit, the Holy Spirit. Any space in this room is available. So when the song starts, get up, find your own space maybe, move away from the person you came with. There's space in the back. It's flat in the back up there with the plants, so if you want to move a little bit, you can. You can sit on the floor. You can find a space to kneel if you want to. But we're going to play a song right now, and then I just want to give everyone a chance to get up, move to where you want to be, and ignore everyone else, and have the freedom to practice worshiping.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move.
with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a heart.
We're going to play one more clip. If you feel so stirred, feel free to speak out, shout, raise your hands in exaltation. Whatever you feel in response, just express it.
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Well, that's my king.
That one always gets me really excited. Thank you for your understanding and patience today while we did things a little bit different. I wanted to take just a moment and kind of share my heart for the song worship portion of the service at the sanctuary. There's a few specific things that I have in the vision for us, and I wanted to share them with you. So the song portion of the service augments the preaching portion, which furthers the gospel of relentless love, which brings us freedom in Christ. So the songs I choose on Sunday are not my favorite worship songs. I have my own worship playlist that I worship to at home. I very specifically either take recommendations and requests straight from the one who's preaching that Sunday. I ask the Lord. Sometimes when I'm in my own worship, a song will just pop up, and it's just the one the Lord wanted. I mean, he's in charge. Every Sunday, when either Wills or I or together, we always say, Lord, please be in charge of the worship service. You're in charge. We're following you. You're the leader. And so in that way, we join the Lord's work each Sunday. So sometimes we do all hymns. Sometimes it's just one instrument. Sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes we have all the band instruments and we're just dancing and shouting to the Lord. We really just want to follow the Lord's idea for the Sunday. And sometimes I know he picks a song just for you. Sometimes the song is for one person who's out there. Sometimes it's just for me, I imagine. The other part of the vision is to create an atmosphere of worship here where all of us can meet with God, hearing from him and responding to him. So just as we hear from the Lord during the sermon part, we also hear from the Lord through the words of the worship service. And then we can respond to him in a variety of ways. That's what we're talking about this morning, is it's our expression is worship. So song worship is in time to engage with the Father, Son, and Spirit. It's a time of prayer while singing, an opportunity for intimacy with God while simultaneously joining the congregation in unity as everyone lifts their voices together as one. Like the psalmists of old, we celebrate God's goodness, his faithfulness, love, and mercy in praise and adoration. Sometimes we cry out in desperation. Sometimes we confess and affirm truth when we sing, reinforcing what we already know in our head and causing it to transform us from within and draw our hearts closer to him. I'm going to read that one more time. Sometimes we walk in here with no faith at all, or it feels like we have no faith. And we come in and we confess and affirm the truth. We reinforce what we know in our head, and it transforms us from within and draws our hearts closer to him. Song worship gives us the opportunity to connect with other believers in our congregation on Sunday morning, but on a grander scale, we join the saints from the past, the present, and the future as we praise God for who he is, what he has done, and what he is doing right now, and what he will do. Peter is always showing us these timelines of the 6 days and the seventh day, and he's showing us all that to help us get out of the timeline we're stuck in and realize that we're living in kingdom time. Like, we have a watch, right? We have to be here on time if we all want to be here together. But also, simultaneously, we are in the spiritual realm worshiping with the saints who've gone before. If you have loved ones who've passed on, they're singing with you on Sunday. We're singing with them. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So now, we're all going to come together to the table and remember the Lord in communion.
Thank you, Amy. Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. A lot of times people want to know, what is the will of God? That's the last verse in the Psalter, which is Israel's songbook. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's the will of God. And on the night that he was betrayed, the will of God, because you know that's who Jesus is, right? That he's the word of God. He's the will of God spoken into reality. On the night that he was betrayed, the will of God, he took bread and he broke it, saying, this is my body given to you. Take and eat and do it in remembrance of me. And in the same way, and having given thanks, he took the cup, saying, this is the covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you, and do it in remembrance of me. You know, if the will of God is imposed from the outside, that's called a law. And so if praise the Lord is put on me as simply a law, I find it incredibly hard to be authentic in my praise. And I don't truly praise. But if it's authentic, it rises up from inside of me. And so Jesus, the will of God and the word of God, said, do this in remembrance of me. And that's why we come here every week, to do this in remembrance of him, to take the will of God and place it inside of us. It's a seed. You know, Jesus said, whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. So the way you do the will of God is you give birth to the will of God. Talk about authentic worship. I saw my wife give birth 4 times. Screaming, yelling, moments of quiet, and then unspeakable gratitude. Everything we do is to be worship. And so we celebrate communion and then we sing. And the singing is was to be a picture of what our lives are to be. So as you come to the table this morning, remember him. When I struggle to worship, I remember him showing up in the most evil place that human beings could possibly imagine. And the light shines in the darkness. And when I remember him, the worship begins to bubble up from within me. And then it's authentic. So as you come forward, bring all that you are and place the will of God within you and give birth to the will of God. And then I can say to you, Happy Mother's Day. Amen. Dark cups are wine, light cups are juice.
Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I speak Jesus over all of you this morning. Jesus, 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 because there's power in his name. And as we let worship bubble up, we are giving birth to worship. We're giving birth to Jesus. So be blessed and believe the gospel.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.